Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
And a wonderful day to you. I hope you're doing okay. This is Brad Zockel, and you're listening to the Questions About Heaven podcast. Oh, it's been a wonderful year, hasn't it? I mean, as we've been going through this past, how many months have we been doing this now? Possibly within a calendar year. Well, it's going to be more than that. Well, I think we started about last summer in the book of Revelation. Yeah, okay, so we're coming up on a full year here. We have been going literally verse by verse along with our regular podcasts of questions and answers such as Feasting in Heaven, Isaiah 25, and Matthew chapter 8, meeting family in heaven, recognizing those and being recognized, like 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19, or Matthew 8, 11. Along with that, we have been taking time here and again and just walking through Revelation, carefully looking at these passages and cross-referencing, and now here we are in this magnificent chapter of the glorious coming of Christ in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. I'm going to read it in a second here, but I want to give you a couple of announcements before we get going, and I want to thank you so much. You know, recently we have been having meetings with our board and advisors, and they said, Brad, well, you listen, we've got to take the next step in this new calendar year. The car you're riding around with has been faithful to you, and indeed it has, but we have to start looking at a new vehicle. The Honda CR-V, I've been traveling around in. You know that I don't go in our 2000 Ford F-150 pickup. I don't do too many long trips. I keep that within South Carolina. But if I'm traveling far, then we have our Honda CR-V, and it has just cleared 239,000 miles. And so, yes, we are looking for a new vehicle. We had been approached contacted within Tennessee at a vehicle that was around $4,000, and we put out the call in saying, you know, listen, this is really great, had 115,000 miles on it, and we got the money, and the seller, it just fell through, and we didn't make it in time. So we have a little bit over, I'm going to say just a little bit under $5,000 that is in a car fund right now, and we're doing a search. Would you pray for us as we are searching for that? I'll continue to drive the Honda. And we have wonderful mechanics, just wonderful, wonderful mechanics that have it in top condition for the age that it is. But we are looking for that, so keep us in prayer about that. Now, this weekend, oh, it was just a great time. You know, I had a wonderful weekend that I shared in Maryland and Delaware a couple of weeks ago. Well, this past weekend, I went down and had a wonderful Bible study at the Rebel Coffee Roastery. Not a coffee house, an actual roastery where they make coffee. And we met with owner Ed, took me around, showed me all of his mechanisms in the back, and oh, these huge, like 250-pound bags of coffee imported in, and he's using them in his roastery. Kind of reminded me of Willy Wonka. Yeah, it was really, really cool. And so we all sat down. We had some visitors coming from other part of Louisiana, and we just had the best time. And they made me gumbo along with this fine coffee. Wonderful time. And then I went over to South Dayton Baptist Church in Dayton, Texas. And as I had shared on our Facebook post, it was a precious time. And when I was there, opening up Sunday morning, a dear little girl, about a 10-year-old girl named Mackenzie, came in, and she had recognized me from my different posts on YouTube and TikTok. And she came over and hugged me. And then she shared with me, she said, I lost my daddy. He was the best daddy in the world, and it was really heartbreaking. During the service, and I posted a picture on Facebook, during the service, she quietly walked up and stood next to the song leader when they sang How Great Thou Art, and every heart in the place melted. It was a very precious time. Oh, we had just the greatest time. Questions and answers in the evening service. The morning service, I talked about the overcomers, the awards, the rewards from the Lord for the overcomers, and just being in the home of the Lord. We're in His family, friends. What a precious time. And so I'll share some more. You know, I know we want to get into Revelation 19, but I can just tell you, I dearly love going and traveling. It gets exhausting at times. I did have a long trip on the way back, but not complaining. And it is so just an enjoyable time to minister to you. And as I go and I see the love for the Lord and for each other that these different churches and assemblies and coffee roastery gatherings have, and it just touches my heart. So thank you for your invitations. As you know, as I travel, I don't set a fee. There is no expense that I say, well, you know, I've been traveling and this is how much it would cost for me to travel to your place. If you have a group that wants me to come, contact me. Contact me. Let's talk. Okay? I don't charge a set fee, anything along that line. And so if we're to get together, let's get together. Now, in March 2nd, I will be in Salinas, California. I will be speaking to Landmark Bible Church. And then that Sunday, the next day, I'll be in Hollister, California, and I'll be speaking at Calvary Baptist Church. This is made possible by a wonderful donor that gave us money so that I can have a round-trip ticket to go out there and reach. And this was a prayer for us this calendar year to be able to go out there. This coming weekend, I will be in Fayetteville, Georgia, puttering on down there to Lisbon Baptist Church, Pastor Brian Parrish, for 2 days. We're going to have a Heaven is Home conference, and that includes a Q&A. So be in prayer for us. Well, let's get into Revelation chapter 19, a most powerful passage here. Revelation 19, we've talked about the glorious singing and praising of the Lord in the very beginning, the great multitude crying out, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. We saw that. We continued on down through the reading, and then we heard, it seemed to be a voice of a great multitude, John says in verse 6, like the roar of many waters, and there's a call again. Hallelujah, which means literally praise the Lord. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. This is the first recognized holiday, celebration in heaven. It is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The angel said to me, verse 9, write this down now. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is going to be a wonderful feast. Now then we take a look in verse 11. And in this I'll read, as I rotate the different translations, this time I will read from the ESV. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And I will stop at verse 14, because I think we have enough for this podcast, and if I get some more time, I'll share some more things here. I want you to remember the word behold. Behold, edu, means take incredible, intense concentration. Pay attention to what you're seeing here, because it's magnificent. I mean, think about the times that we have seen behold or lo in some translations, talking about the birth of Christ or the heavens opened or the new heaven and new earth. We see these magnificent things, and it's always like stop and concentrate on this. I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him. We're looking at something, so let's make sure we pay close attention here. Now I saw heaven open. Well, do you remember the magnificence of when we first saw heaven open in John's narrative? That's way back in Revelation chapter 4. The voice said, as he looked up, I saw heaven open, a voice had come up here. John steps into, breaks all space-time continuum that's familiar to mankind, and he steps into heaven. I saw heaven open in Revelation chapter 6. The heavens rolled back like a scroll in judgment. That was something that caused people to flee in terror who were in rebellion. Now we see once again, heaven been opened. This is open here, and what does he see? There's a white horse. Now we've seen a white horse earlier, but if we go back to Daniel and the prophecies of Daniel, we are given the very strong reminder that every time we see something that gives an appearance of purity is not necessarily so. Use discernment. Remember, 2 Corinthians 11:14, Satan himself will disguise himself as an angel of light. Well, we see a disguising here. If you go back into Daniel chapter 9, and you're going to read about the deceiver coming in the end times, verse 27 will warn you about him. He will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, meaning the 7 years of the great tribulation. But in the middle of the week, after 3.5 years, it says in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, he will put a stop to the sacrifice and the grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolation, desolate, even until the complete destruction. So that one may give the appearance of peace, may give the appearance of solitude, and maybe even solidarity, unity. But it's broken. It's broken. So we're not fooled with anybody who gives the appearance of spirituality or such. We saw in Revelation chapter 6, this one that came on a white horse. But this was not Christ then. This was one who appeared carrying a weapon. Jesus doesn't carry a weapon. Wearing crowns that he has earned. Jesus has diadems, which are given to him by birthright. This here is the one who is the true warrior. And the one who sat on this white horse is the Lamb. Think about this. When he was in Revelation chapter 5, he appeared as having been wounded to death. We will see here that he has his robe spattered with blood, showing the pain and the battle that has been finished, but also by that blood we are saved too. He sat on here. We're seeing the one. Isn't that something? Lambs don't seem very intimidating now on this earth. I'm across the road here from one of our farm here as I'm recording down in the farmhouse, and I look across and I see sheep. There are not many, but I have never had a situation where I have been running screaming away from a lamb. It has just not been that intimidating. As a matter of fact, on my grandpap's farm out in the rural part of Pennsylvania outside of Pittsburgh, he had sheep. And the lambs would trot on over, and even as a kindergartner, I would embrace them and play with them. This is not an intimidating animal. But in the book of opposites, as I tell you, Revelation is, the lamb who is so meek to the believer can be so terrifying and victorious over the rebellious here. This is the lamb. You had seen him. He has been seated. He is on the throne. The Lamb is on the throne. Revelation, go back to Revelation, you'll see that, invites the overcomer to sit with him on the throne, but he's not there now. He was seated there. We're reminded in Acts chapter 7, Stephen sees, as the heavens are open at that time, he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He is sitting in the position of a warrior about to go to battle on here. This is Jesus. He has a name. Here is a very, very deep and powerful thing here. We're seeing this one who's victorious. He was victorious over your sins through his sacrifice in going to the cross, in the meekness that he went to the cross, and in the sacrificial love for you. He went to the cross, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, that one sacrifice for all time. 1 Peter 3:18, he was the just dying for the unjust, and that's me and that's you. He died there, but he made that sacrifice to sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 10. He did that, and we can rely upon him for that salvation. This is the gift of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The gift through Jesus Christ. Well, we see he is indeed faithful and true. Remember, when we see as we go back into, it's very important that we see we can rely on the Lord. It's very, very important when we see that he is true, that he is faithful. We can rely on him. We're talking about eternity now. And when we go and we look in Numbers chapter 23, do you remember this? Numbers chapter 23, it reminds us something. God's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. We're talking about a God who is true all the time. He is going to be the God cannot lie, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 tells us it's impossible for him to lie. And we see this in here. Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. It's also powerful that though man is a liar, God will always be true. This is a reminder here. He has this truth. And because of that, think about the rainbow around the throne. It's complete. The circle is a symbol of eternity, forever. And we see the rainbow. We're reminded that there was a promise there. Mankind would not be destroyed in this way. God is faithful, and the rainbow reminds us of faithfulness here. It is also exemplified here. He is indeed the faithful one. And when we see this, we remember something. He has said, being God, Revelation chapter 6, when the redeemed come to heaven, they say, Lord, when will your justice be enacted? How long? He said, a little while longer. Remember, if he's faithful, he told them the truth. It's going to happen. He didn't say, well, I'm going to let it go. He's faithful. So just as he's faithful to keep your salvation, he's faithful to remind you, the rebellious will not get away with it. Think about how many times, even during the day, that the Christian wonders, when will righteousness be done? When will, even the unsaved say, how come we can't see justice, enough justice? It will indeed, it will come here. It will be righteous. It will be justice. In righteousness, Jesus judges and makes war. It is telling you right now, he is judging, he is making war on this. And as he is presenting himself here about the charge down in with the witnesses behind him of the saints also on their horses, also a reminder that there are animals in heaven. And this is going to be what is called Armageddon. Har is the Hebrew word for hill, the hill of Megiddo. In pushing this together, we have this Armageddon, the hill of Megiddo, the watch point of the battle here is taking place here. This is Jesus about to go into battle. It's very important for us to see that it says, in righteousness, he judges and makes war. We don't have a Hitler or a Napoleon that is doing this for conquest, for power, for self-glory. He's doing this for righteousness. When he does this, he is saying that right will be done, that things will be the way they ought to be. That's really the root of the word righteousness, dikao. It is going to be, remember in 2 Peter chapter 3, and on the new earth it says, and then righteousness will dwell. It says, really, it's righteousness says, I like this, I'm going to set up my home here. This is the same righteousness we see here. For the sake of righteousness, for the sake of right. I'm reminding you on the new earth, it tells us in Revelation 21:27, there's nothing there that will defile. Revelation 22:3, the curse is gone. He is in righteousness making war. So what happens here? His eyes are like a flame of fire. Didn't we see that earlier? We saw that back in Revelation chapter 1 in the description of the Lord in Jesus, flame of fire. Anytime that you see fire in the Bible, it means holy judgment. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah's fire. Think of the judgment on Egypt coming from the burning bush. Fire is a sign of holy judgment, not just judgment and not just holiness, holy judgment. Eyes are a flame of fire seeking deep within. He is seeing those. Are they really? Are the ones on earth, the remaining? Are these ones truly believers? Are these ones truly rebellious? There is going to be this open. His eyes, he can see all. And he sees sin, and it's going to be judged here. Eyes like a flame of fire. And on his head, many crowns. Well, think about this. Didn't Jesus on earth wear a crown? Oh, not a kingly crown. He wore a crown of thorns. But these ones here that we have, these crowns, he's wearing multiple crowns of all authorities, of all, you know, we saw the many crowns for the believers. Oh, that's nothing compared to the crowns here. And when we see this, I'll remind you, as I said earlier, I may have been the earlier part of this podcast or maybe a previous podcast. There are two words for crowns. One is stephanos, which means a crown of earning. You have earned this through battle, through achievement, through warrior-like work. But diademos, a diadem in the anglicized version of a diadem. Well, that's by birthright. Okay, Queen Elizabeth did not have to earn her crown by going into battle or filling out a certain IQ test. She got it by birthright in the bloodline in England. Well, this is by the righteous bloodline, by the truly, by the every right that we have from God the Father, Jesus has this. And then when he has this, it is reminding you, you can truly say he is King of Kings. He has all of these crowns, he has ultimate authority, and he's going to go into battle. And I'm ready to tell you about that, but friends, I've run out of time. We've just started on this, but this is going to be an amazing, just a narrative here that we need to be very careful as we present all of these things. So who's Jesus to you? Do we see Jesus now as a milquetoast, walking around in a Sunday school picture type of a Jesus? Oh, he makes bread, he makes a little fish here, feeds these people. How nice, he's really much into helping the homeless. He's into showing compassion. Indeed, he does. Are you limiting him there? Or, as many faiths will do, keep him in the manger. That's containable. You know, we can control him there, keeping him in the crypt so he doesn't have authority over us. Everything. Well, we don't have that. We have an explosive, authoritative, almighty God when we see Jesus. That is being displayed here. Maybe we respect him in that way, and may we thank him in that way, because it's going to take a King of Kings. It's going to take God himself to get rid of my sins, to bring me into the kingdom, to overcome the wicked one. And indeed, he does. Thank the Lord, that's true. Thank you for listening, friends. There's more we're going to talk about as we're going into Revelation chapter 19. God bless, and we'll talk soon.
In order for the Heaven Tour to continue fulfilling our mission, we humbly ask for your support. Your generosity allows us to continue to proclaim and explain the biblical truth of heaven and to mentor many. All eligible donations are tax deductible, so please prayerfully consider an end-of-year gift. You can send your gift to the Heaven Tour, P.O. Box 795 Pickens, South Carolina 29671. Thank you and have a blessed Thanksgiving.